is Saturday. It is May 13th, 2017. Tomorrow is Mother's Day, so I hope that all of the ladies in the audience, in the listening audience, will have a happy Mother's Day. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the sunny Chicago suburbs. Thanks for joining me at RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. You may view the guest lineup for this particular program at spingola.com. Just click on the radio schedule button and select the year, month, and day. Please also visit screeningsandyhook.net and consider subscribing to SpingolaSpeaks.net, where one may listen to the audio files of my programs. And, of course, RBN also has the archives. Another option is Wooly's blog, and that's wooliesblog.blogspot.com. If you appreciate the RBN programming, please consider donating to the network. You may do that in one of three ways. You may call 800-724-2719 or visit republicbroadcasting.org and click donate, or simply send donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. RBN is one of the few remaining alternative networks. So I hope that the listeners will be supportive, and I really do. Anyway, email questions or comments too, comment at spingola.email. You may join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls at 800-313-9443. Our guest the first 2 hours today is Mark Vincenti. That's V-I-N-C-E-N-T-I, and the website is savethe2008.com. Mark, welcome to the program.
Deanna, Ms. Spingola, it's so nice to be with you. Just a small correction, the pronunciation I use is Save the 2008. But anyway, it's great to be with you. It's a really sunny spring day out here in California, and I'm watching the birds visiting my new bird feeders.
Ah, very good, very good. Well, we met in a rather interesting way. You emailed me, or emailed one of my websites.
Yes.
And you are writing a book, and you were wondering about publishing, how you would go about publishing it. And yes. So I thought that it sounded interesting. So I looked at the website, and while the website is really, it is specific to a particular school district, it's not exclusive to that district. And certainly the problems that we talked about, and that you sent me a document, which was so, it really touched a chord with me.
Thank you.
I mean, it's very poignant, and I mean, you could feel the pain that this girl was experiencing.
Yeah.
And I think that while your website is for a particular school district, I think there are millions of children throughout the United States that are experiencing the same kinds of difficulties, and perhaps for the same reasons. And there's a variety of reasons.
Yes, I completely agree. And maybe I should introduce myself to your listeners a bit. I'm a 66-year-old man who was formerly a high school English teacher here in Palo Alto for 15 years. And during those 15 years, I was in the classroom for one especially difficult year when we were losing a number of students, in fact, six students to suicide. I think this has been a story about Palo Alto that has spread across the country by now. But having that, and I want to say, I know that it's a bit of a difficult conversation for some people to listen to anything having to do with suicide, especially the suicides of young people. And by the way, I send out my condolences to any of your listeners who have been touched in their lives by something like that. because it's extraordinarily painful. It was for my school, it was for me, it was for my students, and it was for all of Palo Alto. But the good news, if there is any, is that during that time, I mean, even though I'd had a very, very sophisticated training as a high school English teacher in my program at Stanford University, during a time of such difficulty when your kids are so exposed and vulnerable and are so needy of adult consolation and understanding, I learned a tremendous amount about my teenagers, the teenagers coming to my classroom, and in that year and in the years since, have put a tremendous amount of thought into what is healthy for high schoolers. And out of that came the document that you're referring to, and thank you for your compliment so much. And out of that came Save the 2008, which is a local community alliance, which is making some proposals to the school board and superintendent for healthier high schools. And out of all that experience finally has come a manuscript that I have drafted that I am shopping around to agents now. But I and this city have been through a particularly unusual, traumatic experience that, curiously enough, has not really been discussed or written about that much nationally in journalism.
I think you're right. Absolutely. And as I was thinking, in fact, I read the document that you sent late in the evening, and went to bed thinking about it, and I woke up thinking about it, and thinking that, God, and I thought back about my own years as a student, and I thought, oh my gosh, look at all of the things that have occurred in our culture that has dramatically altered our children from the time they're born up until, you know, well, until they die. But and hopefully people die of old age. But honestly, we never had to. You know, I got home from school, I'd do my homework, I'd go outside and play basketball with the neighbor kids. And life has changed drastically.
You bet it has. I couldn't agree with you more. I myself graduated from high school in 1968. I applied to only three colleges. I had very little discussion even with my parents about that. I had no discussion with a professional college counselor about it. And I wrote my college application essay entirely on my own. I don't even remember showing it to anybody for feedback on it, and merrily sent it off and was admitted to, luckily, to three schools. And nowadays, to cite one of the differences you're referring to, and I completely agree with you, it's a different time now. And I forgot what I was going to say. But it was, and nowadays, kids are actually advised by their high school counselors to apply to somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 15 colleges. And, for example, at Gunn High School, the high school in Palo Alto where I worked for 15 years, kids, when they write their college essays, many of them take summer courses in that. They have personal coaches. Professional coaches who come to their homes to help them with it. And after they've drafted their essays, they shop them around to even more than one teacher on the staff, usually to an English teacher for obvious reasons, but they will also show their essays to a couple other teachers that they have. It's a completely different level of intensity, stress, anxiety, and fear. I think fear, I would like to stress most of all, is what so many of our high schoolers are feeling these days. And the proposition of Save the 2008, which contains six simple proposals, really, for just some what I call some nuts and bolts changes in the daily grind of high school, is to help dial back those extraordinary levels of stress and fear and discouragement that our modern-day high schools are. As you point out, this is a problem across the country, but that our modern-day high schools are fostering in young people. And I think we adults really need to take up our responsibility and alleviate that for them.
Well, it seems to me, as you were talking, it seems to me that if a student is offered all of this assistance and all of this help and tutoring on how to write a paper, it seems to me that that would impact their own responsibility and their own their ability to think on their own. It seems like you're saying, "Oh, let me help you because you're not qualified to make these decisions. You're not qualified to write this paper yourself. So you better have some help. You better have some tutoring. You better have a counselor come in and let us help you because obviously you're not qualified." Mm-hmm. And I think that's the message that perhaps students are getting or are receiving.
You know, you're so right. It really diminishes their sense of self, their self-esteem, their sense of independence. There's a lot that we tend to do in our schools and in our parenting these days that does that. But, for example, in my teaching, I always taught to my juniors and seniors a 3-week unit on how to write a good college essay. But it always began with reassuring them that they have something to say. You really need to reassure teenagers of the value of their own experience at that age, because they tend to go in a panic and think, "Oh my God, you know, I've never done anything great in my life. I've never cured cancer or made any great trips, or I've never, you know, solved the problem of poverty in the United States. What could I possibly have to say that is genuine and specific to me that is worth writing a page and a half about?" So I always began at the level of their intrinsic individual value as human beings. But I'm glad you brought this up, because it of the 6 proposals being made by Save the 2008, which I'd be happy to talk about, one of them does have to do with the widespread prevalence of cheating, not only in my high school, but in high schools across the country, which of course includes a fair amount of plagiarism these days. And it's this too is a problem that laps over into kids working on their college application essays, because by the time they've had coaches and their parents have helped them and they've had feedback from several different teachers, I've heard this from college admissions officers who feel hard-pressed to actually read something that they feel is like genuinely 100% the product of a young, inexperienced mind who's trying to set down something important in the best language they can find.
Sure. Mark, to be fair, I think that you had a responsibility to talk about this because you are an English teacher, were an English teacher, and so that was appropriate for you to be talking about how to write your college application. So I think that that's a fair, you know, but to go beyond that, you know, I question that. And I think, too, I don't know. My parents never, ever helped me do any of my homework or schoolwork. Students were pretty much on their own to do their own work. And if I didn't do my work, my homework, I didn't have a lot of homework. We accomplished a lot of it at school. And if we didn't, well, we would have the consequences.
Yeah.
And which is fair. People should have consequences for behavior. and be able to experience those consequences. And now it seems that I think there are so many parents that say, oh, I've got to help my student, my son or my daughter with their homework, and they're practically doing the homework, which I think is wrong.
I am very sympathetic to your point of view. There is a lot of participation nowadays by parents in their high schoolers' education and preparation. It's really interesting. Somebody pointed out to me that the whole process and industry and effort of college applications and college admissions is now viewed as such a huge undertaking and task in and of itself that it almost condemns students and their parents to sort of working corporately together to pursue that. So that's not really something that is helping our kids develop a sense of confidence and independence from their parents. But and as you referred to very wisely earlier about the change in times, the coming of electronic technology has, as everybody knows, had a vast effect on human experience. And one of the things that exists in my school district now and in the two high schools in my district, which never existed before, is, and I'm sure this is true of high schools across the country, is some kind of online communications tool that runs between the school and the home. And this is used now, just to use my school as an example. Teachers are actually required by union contract to place online on this school home portal, which is called Schoology in our district. They're required to place online all of their homework assignments and all of the related materials for them.
Oh, really? That is amazing.
Yes, and I know for a fact, because I've heard parents speak of this, this allows parents to step even further into their kids' high school lives. Many parents are looking very closely over their children's shoulders. They're checking, the parents themselves are checking the homework assignments, are helping the kids to make sure that the kids understand those homework assignments correctly, are checking with their kids to make sure that the assignments are being done. And the most, this putting assignments online has a tremendous number of harmful effects from my point of view as a teacher, which I'll be happy to get into in some detail. But perhaps the most pernicious effect of this kind of electronic link-up between the school and home is that now, in my school district, whereas until the year 2013, we teachers were giving our kids course grades only four times a year, quarter semester, that grades, kids are given course grades now 12 times a year.
Oh, my goodness.
3 weeks.
Mark, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-315-317. Paid for by the American
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Our guest the first 2 hours today is Mark Vincenti, and the website is savethe2008.com. When you first said, oh, the pronunciation, I thought, oh, I mispronounced your name.
Oh, no. You got my name just right.
Good. Well, you know, I was thinking during the break, I mean, parents, I was feeling like I wasn't a bad parent, but I never helped my kids with their homework. If they had a situation, they never had a situation where they felt they needed help. And I, as a parent, I felt like they were capable of doing their own work. I mean, I think that the school seems to be insinuating itself into the parental jobs. I don't know, maybe parents feel inadequate if they don't help their child. Maybe they feel like they're not being a good parent. But I really think that the most important thing that a parent can teach their children is responsibility and taking responsibility for the work you're supposed to do, for your chores, for your life, age-appropriate responsibility. You know, I don't expect a two-year-old to make a bed, although when my children became 2 and 3, I encouraged them to make the bed. I never redid anything. If it was a mess, it was a mess, but they felt they had done something. And they picked up their toys. I mean, it was, I don't know, times have really changed, apparently.
I agree with you again, Deanna. I think the responsibility is tremendously important, just to individual responsibility for the well-being of our society as a whole. If I had children, which I don't, but it was a value I always brought to my classroom, is that young people need to be prepared to face life on their own and make difficult decisions independently, because there's a lot in life that takes a lot of figuring out, and there are many very significant experiences in life around which we have to make decisions which nobody else can make for us, career decisions, decisions about relationships, political decisions. And so really to give a young person the gift of confidence in his or her own mind, in the soundness of his or her own mind and thought processes is a huge gift of mental health to kids. And I would say that in general, parents, for complicated reasons, are finding it harder and harder to grant that gift. And there is, I'm sure you've heard the term helicopter parenting. It's a phenomenon that exists. I'm not always crazy about the term helicopter parenting because it sounds so mechanical, machine-like.
Sure.
And I know people are not machines, and parents have feelings, although there is a very sort of driven quality to what they want to do. And I would describe it as a very hands-on and even intrusive form of parenting, in which there's a lot of fear just to let their kids succeed or fail on their own, and a lot of fear and lack of confidence in Mother Nature just taking her course, which is to foster, you know, healthy, independent kids with a good sense of self. And this approach to parenting has gradually, over the last decade or two, has gradually insinuated, if that's the right word, insinuated itself into the way we teach our children in high school. So just to use that convenient term, there's something that I would call helicopter schooling going on now that is becoming institutionalized in our schooling. And that has to do not only with this online school-home communications portal that I was describing to you, but it has to do with parents doing the homework for their children, sometimes writing or editing their essays for them. And it has to do with what I mentioned to you, I think, briefly before the break, that parents now require, depend on, demand on knowing their kids' latest course grades every 3 weeks.
All right. That's incredible. Okay, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. That is amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. And our guest the first 2 hours today is Mark Vincente, and his website is savethe2008.com. Okay, you were talking about through this this portal, the school portal, that parents could receive their children's grades for particular courses every 12 times a year. Is that what you said?
12 times a year, that's right, every 3 weeks, whereas this was a policy implemented by our school board 4 years ago in the year 2010. They voted to increase the grade reporting from 4 times a year, quarter semester, to 12 times a year, every 3 weeks.
Gosh.
And I was appalled. I felt so bad for my kids, because I would actually apply the word cruel to this. I have to say that from the parents' perspective, the parents argue that they really need to, I mean, parents are sort of want to track their kids' GPAs like, I don't know, like you would track a ballistic missile after it's been launched by the military. They want to track it down to the last decimal point, again, out of a great deal of fear that surrounds the whole anticipation of the future and a whole lot of thoughts around the college admissions process. So, and even at the time that this was being discussed in front of our school board, there was at least one parent I know of who stood up and told the school board, "You are letting us down. We need to know. We need to have our children's grades reported to us every single week."
Oh, my gosh. That's such a responsibility for the teachers that is so unnecessary.
It takes up teacher time, which can be spent, for example, for somebody like myself who was an English teacher. I would much rather be having individual conferences after school with my kids. I would much rather be giving them more extended feedback on their essays. But here is the most damaging part, and this relates to the deep amount of depression and stress and discouragement that our high schoolers in Palo Alto have felt and is becoming the norm across the country now. That when you're a teenager, I mean, it used to be that if you were getting a grade just once every quarter, let's say you went through a week of feeling really lousy, maybe you had a grandparent pass away, or maybe you had a romantic rejection, or maybe you didn't get cast in the school play, or maybe you performed badly on the basketball court, or nowadays you may be suffering a humiliation that you endured on social media. Well, you could say to yourself, I'll kind of kick back and lick my wounds for a week or two, and I'll do a little less. I'll apply myself a little bit less to my schoolwork, and I'll settle for B's and C's on my quizzes and exams, because I know I can recoup, I can bounce back before the grade goes on to my transcript or goes home to my parents. Now, our poor young people, they do not have this healing time. They don't have this recovery time. And even though the every 3 week grade is not going on their transcripts, it's going home to parents who are frequently very, very involved in putting pressure on their kids to do well. And to refer back to your astute comment about how much time this takes for teachers, when parents are getting grades that they can check every 3 weeks, they are, if their child's grade has downticked from an A minus to a B plus, something like that, they are sending emails to the teachers. So the teachers are getting that many more emails from very worried parents that they need to deal with. So this
seems like a lot of busy work that really takes away from your teaching time and your preparation time. Do you think, and I believe that there has been a deliberate dumbing down of the scholastic information that students are receiving. Do you agree with that or no?
I don't feel qualified to speak to that very well. At my own school, that has occurred somewhat slightly, because in the past, 3 years ago, a major schedule revamp was done in order to make the school day less stressful for kids. Instead of going to six class periods a day, every day, the school week was rescheduled, so some classes met fewer times per week, but for longer numbers of hours. And as a consequence of this, some teachers were able to teach slightly less material per semester or per year than they used to be able to. And I bemoan that loss. But to answer your question, I don't really know how that is playing out across the country. I think here in Palo Alto, which is an extraordinarily high-achieving, high-expectations, high-income community right next door to Stanford University and here in the midst of Silicon Valley, there is not much chance that there's going to be a tremendous slippage in dumbing down the curriculum or in the curricular rigor, because the kids and the parents would put up a fuss.
Mm-hmm.
But we're
go ahead.
We're an unusual community in that regard. In just the level of expectations and pressure that are focused on this particularly high-earning, high-aspiration, a very successful community. I mean, You can't even buy a house in Palo Alto. The average home price, I think, now is hovering at $3.5 million.
Oh my goodness!
So if you've been able to buy your way into the Palo Alto housing market, you are obviously an adult who has achieved at a very high level in life, and you're going to bring that into the culture of your home and the community.
Okay. Yes. I can see where that would, where parents might be more intent on their children's education so that they can also purchase a home for 3.5 or whatever. So it could be according to where you live.
Yes, and the problems that I talk about and the problems that my community alliance, Save the 2008, is trying to address our problems generally much more of affluent suburban high schools across the United States than they are problems. Inner city schools, about which I know comparatively little, I believe have an entirely different set of major problems. But my concern has rested with very affluent suburban schools because, you know, I live in one of those districts where the kids were, if you'll forgive me, were ending their own lives, were killing themselves in appalling numbers. And this is true of similar school districts. I mean, I don't want to frighten people, but it's certainly, I don't know if people are aware that in the last year in Colorado Springs, there were the suicides of 15 young people.
Oh, my goodness.
And there have been two more this year. And in Bend, Oregon, which is another fairly well-off suburban-type area, last year there were 9 young people who ended their own lives. And there is a list now of suicide clusters in very well-off communities in the past several years. That includes Fairfax County, Virginia, Newton, Massachusetts, Southern Delaware. There have been suicides in Southern Maine. I recently learned of one in a town not far from Chicago. I'm not sure which town. But I hate to be so grim, and I hate to upset people with these numbers. Oh, and there was one recently that was, a long article was written in the New York Times about a suicide that took place in Lexington, Massachusetts. So it's something we need to be very concerned about, and we need to be very concerned about the contribution that the very ways that our high schools are operated nowadays that are putting our kids at risk for this kind of despair.
I live in the Chicago suburbs, and as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, in some Chicago schools, inner city schools, students are killing each other. So, you know, you talked about situations like that where the standards are different and the expectations are different.
Yes.
But all in all, I see across the board, wherever there are students going to school, there's a lot of problems. And I think they're cultural and have to do with family. And when I ask the question about the deliberate dumbing down, I have an 1895 exam from the 8th grade.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen that.
I'm sure I couldn't pass it.
and that was a time when 15-year-olds, 14-year-olds were helping to build homes and building grist mills and things like that. And now we have kids graduating from high school who can't even sew on a button. So, I mean, the skills and the expectations have really decreased, I think. And the other thing that is of concern to me is that, and you talked about it, technology that no matter where you go, you see people are hooked up to a machine. They're either on their iPad or their iPhone, and they're just, I think it's very addictive. And I think that also that it is diminishing their ability to communicate person to person, and they've changed the language. There's a particular language now that, you know, certain things mean certain things.
Yes. Well, of the six proposals of my coalition, Save the 2008, they include proposals around class size, homework, AP courses, grade the frequency of grade reporting, the frequency of cheating, and the sixth one has to do with kids' attachment and dependence on social media on campus, exactly what you're talking about. And some of these things work in a sort of a horrible, ghastly synergy because, for example, because my school and most affluent high schools around the country, and perhaps most high schools, permit the use of student smartphones during the day, we have kids walking around campus getting on their phones to get an immediate checkup with what their grade update has been. So we have these frequent every 3 week grade updates, and we have kids walking around campus getting on their phones as soon as they can to check their grade updates. So there's a really vicious cycle, a vicious symmetry between these things that are happening together. And I'll tell you that, you know, for example, at my school, the school rule is that you may have and you may use your smartphone during the day except during class time. In other words, what that means is kids are free to be on their phones during brunch, during lunch, and during passing periods, during study hall, when they go to the bathroom, etc. But your phone may not be visible or audible during class time. The fact is that kids are very smart. They're very dependent upon their phones for emotional support during the day. And so they're very clever at finding ways to get on their phones during class time by hiding their phones behind. If you're holding up your copy of, if there's a discussion and you're holding up your copy of Hamlet in front of you in an English class, you just tuck your phone between the pages and you can look at it. Or you can glance down in your bag and see if your phone is blinking, which is good news to a student who's just sent a desperate text to a friend during the passing period saying, "Oh my God, you won't believe what Susie said during physics class. It really hurt my feelings." You just want to see your phone light up as soon as possible just to know that your good friend has received that message. And in a way, we adults, we can't be superior about this because we have the same emotional interactions with phones and with email. But it's been very interesting. The most significant study I've seen about kids' use of their cell phones during class time is one that was done by the Pew Institute in 2010. And they found that in high schools across the country, high schools that permit students to use their phones during the school day except during class time, question kids about this, and even schools with those rules, the kids at those schools admitted to being, 62% of kids admitted to being on their phones during class time, despite those rules. And at schools that completely banned using phones during the school day, which would include lunchtime, brunch, passing periods, everything else, even at those schools, 50% of kids were admitting that they were getting on their phones during class time. So teenagers, God bless them, are very creative and clever at figuring a number of things out. And because high school in the last couple of decades especially has become a very alienated place that lacks meaning for them, they're especially
Indeed.
Desperate to have the emotional support that they can get from their phones during the day.
Gosh. Alrighty, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back. This is very disturbing.
It is.
It really is. We'll be right back.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Deanna, and our guest first 2 hours is Mark Vincenti, and his website is savethe2008.com. And well, there's several things I want to talk about, and this sure. The cell phone, and you were saying that this gives them emotional support.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, gosh, how tender their emotions must be, or how insecure they must be that they depend on their phone. That is amazing. I have a cell phone, but I don't use it. It's tucked away in my drawer. I only have it for one purpose. But I mean, if I were traveling, which I used to do, I traveled in 5 states as a sales rep, and I think I probably got one of the first cell phones that came out was a big, huge Motorola thing. It was like $500. And I did it because I was a woman alone on the road traveling by herself. Yeah. And I did it for you know, precautionary safety. But I don't use a cell phone. I don't see any need for it.
Yeah, neither do I. And I think it's a good metaphor there that you were on a road traveling alone by yourself. And I think that degree, the fear that is associated with that, some of the feelings associated with that are what our kids are feeling during the school day.
We have to
remember, and it's because school, high school for kids has by and large become
a war zone.
I'm sorry?
A war zone of sorts?
It's become a job. It's become something where they're not pursuing a passion, where they're not... it's become a series of career moves for them. They wow. think very carefully about how their classes and how their grades are all going to stack up on their transcripts to get into college. And the number of kids who are actually enthusiastic about high school in general is only on the order these days of like 40% of only on the order of like half of the kids who genuinely feel like it's an experience that they care about. It may be even fewer than that. And a colleague of mine wrote a book which I would recommend to any interested parent out there who wants to understand what's going on in high schools. A colleague of mine here at Stanford named Denise Clark Pope, P-O-P-E, about a decade ago wrote a book called Doing School, which is, I think, encapsulates the entire feeling of so many high schoolers these days, that they are just going through a certain set of motions to, in the pursuit of a certain set of vague future goals, that they're just doing school like you would troop off to a job you're not that interested in every day with your lunch bucket and just somehow get through the day. And so there are many, many aspects of school that are contributing to that atmosphere. And
we are at the top. Would you believe we're at the top of the hour?
I believe you.
We'll take a 3-minute break, and we still have a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stay with us, folks.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.